The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London.
Good night and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
As you probably know, the president interrupted primetime television to read a speech from the Oval Office. Grandpa gave a 10-minute address to warn us about Mexicans as if they're a migration of killer bees swarming after us. The speech was intended, I think, to convince us that we have an immigration crisis at the border. The president, as you know, has been very anti-immigrant since the one he's married to stopped having sex with him. So this was designed to humanize him and to turn this around. It was not an inspiring speech. It looked like he was giving the speech at gunpoint. And he was stiff and he was sniffling through the whole thing. At the end of every sentence, he went, because, I don't know, maybe he forgot to take his allergy medication.
Adderall, he's sniffing Adderall.
Suffering from congestion, itchy, stuffy nose, nasal irritation, uncontrollable, persistent sniffling. Finally, there is hope. Wallegra, the first medication formulated for border wall negotiation-related allergies. Wallegra goes to work fast, giving you lasting relief from all the paranoid border wall-related delusions clogging up your passageways. Ask your indicted campaign manager if Wallegra is right for you. In a small percentage of presidents, Wallegra may cause a sudden inability to use numbers and facts. Wallegra. Shut down the government, not your sinuses.
Yeah.
Available at Border Walgreens.
Ah, Border Walgreens. Great piece from Jimmy Kimmel. Funny stuff. Problem is, it wasn't allergies. It's Trump's Adderall addiction. He snorts it. But we went there yesterday. All right, before we get started, I had to do something to corral this nervous, angry energy I have. So I put together another little mix. Really short, but it'll get me copyright violated on YouTube. Let's go for it, shall we?
Mother, do you think they'll try to break my balls?
Not only was the president unpresidential, surprise, surprise, I think the meeting was a setup so he could walk out.
Ooh, mother should have built the wall.
When I would say Mexico's going to pay for it, I never said this and I never meant they're going to write out a check.
Mother, should I run for president?
I have the absolute right to declare a national emergency. I haven't done it yet. I may do it. If this doesn't work out, probably I will do it. I would almost say definitely.
And then I go and spoil it all by saying something stupid like,
the buck stops with everybody.
The buck stops with everybody. He actually said that yesterday. He doesn't even know where it came from. I'm sure he's never heard of Harry Truman. If you asked him who it was, he'd say, wasn't that a Jim Carrey movie? The Harry Truman Show? Because he's a fucking moron. Oh my God. I just can't. First of all, I feel so terribly for the 800,000 plus people who are having to go without a paycheck tomorrow, all for this moron's fucking ego. God damn it. He's such an asshole. And this is all a farce. This is, and I don't know, the Republicans go along with it? For what reason? Lindsey Graham, I always thought he was an idiot, but oh my God, John McCain is rolling over in his grave. What a snorer! I think that's the Yiddish word. My husband is out there somewhere laughing at me because I don't do Yiddish. Don't hold back. I'm not having a good day. I really hate this man. I hate what he's done to our country. I hate what he's done to our people. A wall? Why don't we just go back to the 30s? That's where he wants to take us anyway. You know, I have this piece that I put together last year on the 14 characteristics of fascism. I think I may have to pull it out tomorrow and play it again to remind you of what we're up against, because this man is dangerous. I know it's easy to write him off as an idiot because he is one, but the stuff he's doing is dangerous. And because he has the keys to the Oval Office, he can get away with this shit. We've got to stop him. I saw somebody commented on Facebook or Twitter. I was looking for something encouraging to talk about today. Didn't find anything. It was somebody, an old friend of mine, who's not political usually, who said, every time I get an alert on my phone, I get my hopes up that it's going to be a message that Donald Trump has died. That would be the best thing for all of us, wouldn't it? Now, Secret Service, I'm not talking about killing the man. But wouldn't it be horrible if he stroked out or had a massive coronary from all the shit he eats? God damn. One thing that I think we should all be doing every day, every hour that this ridiculous shutdown drones on, is to play this.
If we don't get what we want, one way or the other, whether it's through you, through a military, through anything you want to call, I will shut down the government.
Okay, absolutely. Fair enough.
And
we
I am
disagree.
Proud, and I'll
we
tell
disagree.
You what, I am proud to shut down the government for border security, Chuck. I will take the mantle. I will be the one to shut it down. I'm not going to blame you for it.
He shut it down. He owns it. He said he would own it, and he owns it. And he won't open up the parts of the government to that have nothing to do with his fucking border wall. God. Yes, and House of Roberts in the chat room said Pence must die also. He's just waiting for the rapture, you know? He said asinine things. You know what? Maybe I'll get him in What's News. Maybe not. We'll see. All I know is, he's such a fucking idiot. I don't know how we make it through this. I really don't. Because he lies and then has idiots backing him up. I happen to be, as I get ready for my show, I hear the last half hour or so of Tom Hartman's program. And my God, he's got some idiotic listeners. A guy named Sergio called in. And he's like, well, we need the border wall to keep them out. And Hartman says, well, then do you think we need a wall on the northern border too? Yeah. And at least Hartman, in this case, retorted with something sensible. He's like, you've got a real fear problem. Something wrong with this guy. Oh, my God. I saw an article on my newsfeed saying he was considering a benefit. All right. I don't know what that means. All right. Let's just get to the news. All right. Howie Klein's back today. So lots to talk about. And again, another reason for my shitty mood today. Nancy Pelosi, despite her promises and all her good talking and her standing up to Donald Trump, fucked over the progressives in the Democratic caucus when she made her committee assignments. Did he have any doubt? We'll talk with Howie Klein about that and other things as we get going on this very frustrating Thursday. Here's the news.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
We'll do it live. Fucking thing.
Yeah, we will do it live. All right. The Wednesday meeting at the White House to negotiate an end to the government shutdown ended abruptly after Nancy Pelosi reiterated that the Democrats would not provide funding for Trump's stupid border wall. Following the aborted meeting, Pelosi and Schumer stepped up to the microphones.
And he said, if I open up the government, you won't do what I want. That's cruel. That's callous. And that's using millions of innocent people as sort of pawns. And it was wrong. And then a few minutes later, he sort of slammed the table. And when Leader Pelosi said she didn't agree with the wall, he just walked out and said, we have nothing to discuss. So he said it was a waste of his time. Again, we saw a temper tantrum because he couldn't get his way and he just walked out of the meeting.
Many federal workers will not be receiving their paychecks, and what that means in their lives is tragic in terms of their credit rating, paying their mortgage, paying their rent, paying their car payment, paying their children's tuition, and the rest. The president seems to be insensitive to that. He thinks maybe they could just ask their father for more money, but not they can't.
Not only was the president unpresidential, surprise, surprise, yesterday, and his behavior. I think the meeting was a setup so he could walk out.
But you think?
I'll say just that. And as I said to him yesterday, these people cannot go to their fathers to cover their payments, their cost. Can you? Can any of you, if this happened to you? If you can, good luck. That's wonderful for you. But that doesn't speak for most families in our country.
It's all he knows. He's a spoiled, rich brat who doesn't understand the plight of most of the people of this country and what he's doing to them. All right, then it was the Republicans' turn, with VP Mike Pence doubling down on Trump's position.
That's what the American people expect us to do today. But when the Speaker of the House comes to the table with the leader of the Democrats in the Senate, after we've made days of good faith negotiations with an offer on the table, and their only answer is they will not negotiate until we reopen the government, and when the president says, well, if I gave you exactly what you're asking for, would you agree to border security and a wall, and they say no, I think the American people deserve better. I think these leaders know the American people deserve better, and I can promise the American people, this president, Republicans in the House and the Senate, are going to continue to stand firm until we get the resources and the reforms necessary to end the humanitarian crisis on our southern border, to end the security crisis on our southern border. Then and only
fucking
then
idiot.
Will we end this partial government
shutdown. It's nothing about the humanitarian crisis. They've perpetuated a fucking humanitarian crisis. They're the ones who caged and jailed little children, separated families, killed a couple of kids along the way. They don't give a shit. All they care about is staying in power. They don't care about Trump's idiotic wall, but it's what Donald wants. Oh, you're not allowed to call him Donald. Mr. Trump, excuse me. He can call everyone else by their first name. That's because he's superior to them. The House yesterday voted to reopen the Treasury Department, the IRS, the Small Business Administration, and several other federal agencies. Eight, count them, eight Republicans voted with Democrats to pass the legislation, which is the first of several small spending bills Pelosi's going to bring up this week. The White House announced preemptively that Trump would veto the piecemeal spending legislation if it didn't include wall money. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, of course, has no intention of bringing it up for a vote, even as some in his caucus challenged the president over his shutdown strategy at a closed-door meeting. McConnell is in some ways worse than Trump, because this is the asshole who the day Obama was elected said he's making it his goal to make sure Obama is a one-term president, to make sure he doesn't get any of his legislative priorities through. And he blocked everybody, and he blocked Obama's Supreme Court nominee for almost a year. He kept that seat open, and he agreed with then alive John McCain, who said, we'll keep that seat open for the entirety of her administration if Clinton wins. These are the evil, fucked up people we're dealing with here. They're evil. There's no other way to put it. They want to hurt you. If you're not one of them who goes along with their harmful attitudes of fucking over the poor and enriching the rich, then you don't count. It doesn't matter. At a press gaggle yesterday, ABC's Jonathan Carl attempted to ask the president why he wouldn't sign those bills that the House is passing. In fact, they are bills that the Republican-controlled Senate passed unanimously before the Christmas break, and they won't even take them up now. What ensued was a classic Trump bullying session.
So why not sign the other bills, though, so some of these workers can get paid, the government
get
money?
You think I should do that?
No,
do you think I should do that, John?
I mean, it's not for me
to
say.
I watch your one-sided reporting. Do you think I should do that? Hey, John. No, seriously, John, do you think I should just sign?
Well, the argument
no,
is...
Tell me.
Border security.
You think I should just sign?
I'm saying that if you sign that, these workers can start getting paid. The government can
so
start...
So you would do that. If you were in my position, you'd do that.
I'm not in your position. I'm asking you if that's something you
I'm asking you, would you do that if you were in my position?
Because
if you would do that, you should never be in this position.
You shouldn't be in that position.
Because you'd never get anything done. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you very much.
God, he is a despicable, sorry excuse for a human being. Everything about him is disgusting! Instead of, you know, working to run the government to ensure for the domestic tranquility and the general welfare, which is what a president is supposed to do, Trump continues to threaten that he'll declare a national emergency, which would ostensibly give him the power to redirect money from the military to spend on a border wall. He said this.
I have the absolute right to do national emergency if I want.
What's your threshold?
My threshold will be if I can't make a deal with people that are unreasonable.
People that are unreasonable. That's the definition of you. Oh, I'm sorry. Dotard is the definition of Trump. Idiot is number two. Illiterate, probably number three. No knowledge of American or world history, number four. Trump apparently reluctantly headed down to McAllen, Texas today to visit the southern border. He actually had some network anchors to an off-the-record lunch on Tuesday. What I want to know is who went and why the fuck did they go? You're called the enemy of the people by this asshole and you go to an off-the-record lunch with him? What's wrong with you? I know Chuck Todd was there. I don't know who else was there. That's off the record. Anyway, Trump reportedly said of this trip that he went on, that he's on now, quote, "It's not going to change a damn thing, but I'm still doing it." He added that the trip was simply for publicity, but we knew that. By the way, CNN is reporting that Republican senators are privately planning to court Democratic senators on an immigration deal that would give Trump money for his border wall and include several measures long sought by Democrats. Included are items dealing with DACA, the TPS, Temporary Protected Status Program, and modifications to H-2B visas. Apparently, Lindsey Graham was in on this, but now he's, since that news item this morning, he's since said, yeah, that's dead. Trump, this is how he negotiates. Either you give me what I want or I'll hold my breath until the country dies. Hey, Donald, kill yourself. It'd make it easier on all of us. Hold your breath until your face turns blue and you keel over. Okay? That'd give the rest of us a running start anyway. Tomorrow, this asshole, asinine shutdown officially becomes, well, it's tied for the longest shutdown in American history. Tomorrow is also the day that somewhere in the neighborhood of 800,000 federal employees will not get their paychecks. Unbelievable. One thing Trump's tantrum over the wall is succeeding at is keeping news from the Mueller probe off the front burners. But there has been significant news on that front over the past few days. Unfortunately, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, the guy who appointed Special Counsel Robert Mueller and has been overseeing the Russia investigation, announced that he's planning to leave the Justice Department shortly after a new Attorney General, presumably Trump's nominee William Barr, is confirmed. A poorly redacted court filing from Manafort revealed new details about what Special Counsel Robert Mueller is investigating, including that Paul Manafort had shared polling data related to Trump's presidential campaign with an associate tied to Russian intelligence. Just know this is really bad stuff. Illegal, treasonous, and more. Incredibly, over at Fox, Shepard Smith, who is a man of reason, and their chief legal analyst, Judge Andrew Napolitano, actually agreed, are you sitting down for this? Trump is guilty of collusion.
The prosecutors accused Paul Manafort of lying to FBI agents in violation of his guilty plea to cooperate with them. And they filed their allegations of the lies under seal. We don't know what they were. Paul Manafort's lawyers filed their answer, and they forgot to seal part of it. And the part they forgot to seal was that the FBI accused Paul Manafort of lying about whether or not he gave confidential campaign polling data at the height of the campaign to a Russian oligarch who the FBI has identified as a source for Russian intelligence.
So a Putin man.
Yes. This shows that Bob Mueller can demonstrate to a court without the testimony of Paul Manafort that the campaign had a connection to Russian intelligence, and the connection involved information going from the campaign to the Russians. The question is, was this in return for a promise of something from the Russians, and did the candidate, now the president, know about it?
And would that be conspiracy?
Yes. A conspiracy is an agreement to commit a crime. The crime would be to receive something of value from a foreign person or government during a campaign. Whether or not the thing of value arrives, the agreement is what is the crime. There was apparently an agreement between the campaign manager and this Russian oligarch. What the oligarch did with the material we gave him, who the campaign manager Manafort spoke to in the campaign, Bob Mueller has yet to reveal.
It's a curious lie, no?
It's very.
I guess you wouldn't want to give up that you're handing things over to Putin's man.
Well, of course not, especially in light of the president's repeated, almost ad nauseum allegations, no collusion with the Russians, no collusion with the Russians.
Well, if this is collusion, though collusion isn't a crime, this would be collusion.
The crime is conspiracy, the agreement. Collusion is a non-legal term.
Oh, I know, but right. If there's a collusion, giving stuff to the Russians about polling data,
would
that
probably fit into that kind of a category.
Yeah.
It would probably fit into that kind of a category. When Fox turns against Trump, Trump's screwed. Hey, Donald, did you see that on your television? All right, a few other things. For the second time this week, Senate Democrats blocked an effort to bring up a Mideast policy bill in protest over the shutdown. The vote was 53-43. The bill would have allowed senators to express their views over Trump's Syria policy, and it includes other measures, including those some related to Israel. Basically, what this is saying, I don't know that that was the bill that they needed to make a statement on, but the fact is they're making a statement on all the bills. They're saying, we're not voting on any of this crap McConnell brings up until you reopen the government. Good for them. In other news, love this one. The Coast Guard is advising families not getting their paychecks tomorrow due to Trump's shutdown to consider holding a garage sale, babysitting, dog walking, or serving as a mystery shopper. Are you fucking kidding me? Oh my God. There are no words. There are just no words. And finally, my favorite story of the day. Stormy Daniels folded clothes on Instagram Live Tuesday night while Donald Trump went on live television to try to sell Americans on the idea that it's necessary to build a wall on the nation's southern border. Both broadcasts started at 9 o'clock and lasted 10 minutes. Stormy Daniels, who filmed the skit in her underwear, played Pink Floyd's Another Brick in the Wall while doing her chores. She said she attracted 100,000 viewers. And in fact, our pal Robert Hill, New York City, in the chat room said that that's what he watched instead of watching Trump. Shit, I would have probably enjoyed watching Stormy Daniels fold laundry in her underwear more than watching Donald Trump speak. But it's one of the hazards of doing this job, I guess. The Coast Guard forgot to mention that people can sell their blood plasma. There are people I've seen said they're going to sell their family heirlooms and things like that. This is unconscionable. But this man doesn't have a conscience. Some of the things he said, I'm sorry, I know you hate it when I play his voice. I can't help it. Listen to some of the, precede it with this.
And then I go and spoil it all by saying something stupid like.
The fact is that if we don't have barriers, walls, call them what you want, but if we don't have very strong barriers where people can not any longer drive right across, if unbelievable vehicles. They make a lot of money. They have the best vehicles you can buy. They have stronger, bigger, and faster vehicles than our police have,
God.
And then ICE has, Border Patrol.
Just make shit up.
So they're pretty good at that.
They're pretty good at that.
Areas that they go to, it's like a highway.
God.
And we have to close them up. And if we don't close them up, you're all kidding yourself.
Oh my God, he's such an asshole.
And then I go and spoil it all by saying something stupid like.
I find China, frankly, in many ways, to be far more honorable than Brian, Chuck, and Nancy. I really do. I think that China is actually much easier to deal with than the opposition party.
And then I go and spoil it all by saying something stupid like.
If we don't get what we want, one way or the other, whether it's through you, through a military, through anything you want to call, I will shut down the government.
Okay,
absolutely.
Fair enough.
And
we
I am
disagree.
Proud, and I'll
we
tell
disagree.
You what, I am proud to shut down the government for border security, Chuck. I will take the mantle. I will be the one to shut it down. I'm not going to blame you for it.
I'm president, and you're not.
Yeah, and he also is
And God
this guy.
Bless the United States.
Yeah. Go fuck yourself. God. Okay. Deep breath. Brad and Desi are back from vacation, so we got another Green News report. Unfortunately, that's going to be really depressing, too. And then we'll check in with Howie Klein of Down with Tyranny and the Boo America PAC and find out how Nancy Pelosi is screwing over progressives. You having a good day yet? Me either. We'll be right back.
It's Thursday, January 10, 2019.
The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency accused Fiat Chrysler of installing secret software.
Fiat Chrysler to pay big fines for cheating on U.S. emissions tests. The three costliest weather disasters in the world last year all occurred in the United States. U.S. greenhouse gas emissions spiked in 2018. Plus,
politicians look the other way while big oil companies destroy this planet.
Democrats push ahead on climate action.
All of those stories and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
The more carbon-based fuels you can introduce in the developing world, Africa, South America, Asia, the cleaner the environment gets.
Oh, man. Gotta hand it to Fox News. George Orwell must be proud. This is your Green News Report.
I'm gonna soak up the sun.
Okay, Desi Doyen. On Wednesday, Donald Trump promised to cut off FEMA wildfire relief money for the state of California after the worst and most deadly fire season on record out here, unless, he said, California gets their act together. Does he mean this? Is he actually going to cut off FEMA relief to California, where almost 100 people died last year in wildfires?
Well, it's not the first time that he's threatened to cut off FEMA funding for California, but it is unclear if this is official because, of course, FEMA officials did not comment because of the government shutdown.
Some 19,000 structures, that's homes, were burnt to the ground. And he's going to cut all those families off, I guess.
Yep. It's the last thing that fire victims really needed to hear right now. Meanwhile, AP is reporting that automaker Fiat Chrysler has agreed to pay more than $650 million to the U.S. government to settle allegations that the company used illegal software to cheat on U.S. emissions tests, allowing more than 100,000 diesel vehicles to spew toxic pollution at 10 times beyond legal limits. The company will pay hundreds of millions in fines to the federal government and California state regulators and will reimburse vehicle owners, but did not admit any wrongdoing.
Huh. Secret software from Fiat Chrysler. Exactly, almost exactly what Volkswagen did. Go figure.
The three most costly natural disasters in the entire world in 2018 all occurred in the United States, and all were climate and weather related.
We're number one.
That's according to a new report by global reinsurer Munich Re. The costliest single disaster in 2018 was that camp fire in California that obliterated the town of Paradise, killing more than 80 people and causing overall damages of at least $16
billion. Well, cut off their FEMA funds.
It was followed by Hurricane Michael in the Florida Panhandle and Hurricane Florence in North Carolina.
Any talk of cutting off FEMA funds to Florida and North Carolina?
Now that you mention it, no.
Weird.
Annual U.S. greenhouse gas emissions shot up in 2018 for the first time in nearly 10 years, increasing by nearly 4%. That's despite a near record number of U.S. coal plants closing last year. Researchers with the Rhodium Group said the spike was driven primarily by surging emissions from factories, planes, and trucks, and higher heating oil consumption. But they also said it probably would not have been as high without the Trump administration's deregulation efforts. The increase comes as scientists warn the world needs to be aggressively cutting emissions to avoid catastrophic climate change.
So once again, We're going in the wrong direction.
Exactly. But Democrats are pushing to make climate change a central political issue. Likely presidential candidate Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren called out the oil industry in announcing she's formed a presidential exploratory committee. Washington State's Democratic Governor Jay Inslee, who has not formally announced a 2020 run, over the weekend told MSNBC's Joy Reid that climate change is a threat to the economy and national security, and he believes the best hope for America is to nominate a Democratic governor.
To govern is to choose, and we must choose a path to economic growth that will simultaneously defeat climate change.
Well, good luck with that.
Finally, Democratic Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York, in a 60 Minutes interview, refused to back down from the goals articulated in a Green New Deal jobs plan that some have described as radical.
I think that it only has ever been radicals that have changed this country. Abraham Lincoln made the radical decision to sign the Emancipation Proclamation. Franklin Delano Roosevelt made the radical decision to embark on establishing programs like Social Security. That is radical.
Do you call yourself a radical?
Yeah, you know, if that's what radical means, call me a radical.
She's radical. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, iTunes, or Google Play. Find us, follow us, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
The Nicole Sandler Show is 100% listener supported. Have you given yet? Nicole decided not to put her show behind a paywall, knowing that many can't afford the luxury of paying for a podcast. But if you're able to, she needs your financial support to continue doing this. Consider a monthly subscription. Give when you can. Just visit NicoleSandler.com/donate. Remember, she can't do this without you. Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
All right, we're back. I'm having a few technical difficulties. Hopefully, you can hear this now. And hopefully, Howie Klein is there. You there?
I am. I'm
Yay.
Here.
Hey,
and
Howie Klein.
Not technical difficulties for me.
No, I'm having the thing that I broadcast to YouTube on, for some reason, every time I change the picture, the volume keeps resetting down to zero, which don't ask why. It's just gremlins in my studio again. But we're here. Welcome to a Thursday. It's a frustrating day. Watching Trump just gets my blood boiling. I know I should turn it off, but it's hard to do when this is my job.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, one of my partners in Blue America, John Amato, sits and watches Fox all day.
Oh, God.
I can't understand it. And I keep saying, why do you do that to yourself? Because I know it gets him crazy. I'm sure I've had it on once or twice in my life. But
yeah.
If someone said to me right now, I'll give you $1,000 if you could like just press the button for Fox, I wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah, I don't know either. I know what neighborhood it's in on the DirecTV thing. My husband watches every now and then as for comic relief, but he finds it funny. I find it really infuriating, so I don't go there. I couldn't watch Sean Hannity if you paid me. And I could use the money, so go figure. Also frustrating me today is Nancy Pelosi. I appreciate how she's standing up to Donald Trump, but you have a piece, Howie Klein, going live at Down With Tyranny tonight, or in a few hours,
No, actually, I changed it. It's going up at exactly when you and I finish speaking. Ah. Right at that moment, it goes
perfect.
Up.
Perfect. Great. So everyone, right when the show ends, can go over to downwithtyranny.com and read it, although you'll read it and weep. Because I guess wishful thinking on my part. I was hoping that with this new crew of some young progressives bringing their energy and enthusiasm to the Democratic caucus, some of it maybe would have rubbed off on Nancy Pelosi. She made some promises about how she'll staff all the committees, not staff, but assign members to committees. And she said, because the caucus is 40% progressives, that she'd make sure there were 40% progressives on these important committees. That's not what she did, is it?
No, they announced. I'm arguing with them about what she did.
It's semantics.
Because there's a lot of different ways to look at it.
Yeah.
But first of all, how do you define a progressive? So what the deal was not that they were going to put progressives on the committees, on the important committees, but that they were going to put members of the Congressional Progressive Caucus.
Ah.
The problem with that is that, unfortunately, Mark Pocan, who's one of the co-chairs, is doing something that I totally think is the wrong thing to do. He's allowing people to come on to just pay the dues, which I think is $5,000, and in return for that, he gives them status as a member of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, regardless of what their politics are.
Hmm.
So in other words, there are some extremely conservative members who, if there are 13 New Dems, for example. So if you're a New Dem, the New Dems are very, unlike Mark Pocan, the New Dems want to know what your ideology is. And if you're a progressive, you're not allowed on the New Dems. The New Dems put on Wall Street shills. That's what they care about.
Mm-hmm.
So, on the Progressive Caucus, I'm assuming you have to be pro-choice. You have to be, maybe even not even that.
Maybe not.
You can't be anti-gay. You can't be a racist. But that's how they're defining progressive. And if you're a Wall Street shill, you're allowed. So the problem is, as soon as that was announced a few weeks ago, when they were, because what happened was the Progressive Caucus sort of made a deal that they were going to support Pelosi for speaker,
right,
in return for which she was promised this 40% thing. And when I read it, I thought to myself, there's a problem here, which is she's going to take these awful members, the worst ones, and she'll put them on the committee. She's not going to put Alexandria Ocasio or Ro Khanna on the committees. She's going to take really bad ones and put them on the committees. And that's exactly what happened. So, I guess technically you can say yes. Well, she lived up to her 40%, but when you look at who the people are, what I did on my blog, as you'll be able to see, I put a rating next to every name of the people who she put on the three committees that were announced last night,
mm-hmm.
and the rating is from Progressive Punch. And I'm not saying that Progressive Punch is perfect, but you can take my word for it. If they give somebody an F, they're not a progressive. I mean, that means their voting record has an F. It's not a progressive. If they have a D, they're not a progressive.
Right.
I mean, in my mind, you pretty much, unless there are some very, very extenuating circumstances, you've really got to have an A.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them have, one of the people who I was really happy about was Nanette Barragán. And Nanette only has a B.
Okay.
Okay. So it's okay that she has a B, because the committee that they put her on is really, really important. It's the Energy and Commerce Committee. Now, when Nanette ran for Congress originally and Blue America backed her, she ran as a progressive. She ran against it's an all Democratic district. So, it's not there's no Republicans in the mix here. It's just Democrat against Democrat. And the Democrat she was running against was extremely conservative. He was the establishment guy. He, in Sacramento, he's like Mr. Not anymore. He's not there anymore. But when he was there, he was like Mr. Go-to for corruption. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally, they have one committee, in Sacramento, which is the corruption committee. And if you want money, you know, if you want to sell your votes to alcohol or to gambling or something like that, you just go to this guy and you say, this is how much I need, this is how many votes I'll give you, and that. So he was that. So she was running against him, and she beat him, and she had been a small-town mayor. And she took on Chevron Oil, I believe that was the oil company, who wanted to drill off the coast of her town. And she fought them for years, and she beat them. So she was already an environmental hero. So to have her on the Energy and Commerce Committee, which is the one that's doing all the environmental stuff, that's a really big deal. But that's really the only one that I could look at and say, wow, are we lucky? Now they did... Nancy did put on two other actual progressive women on one in each of the committees. So Gwen Moore from Wisconsin is put on one, and Bonnie Watson Coleman, also a progressive. So they both have A's, and they're both actually progressives. But when you look at the list of who she put on these committees, I mean, she literally took the worst people that is possible. Like, you know, like Charlie Crist was put on appropriations. Obviously, he's a blue dog and he has an F. Ed Case, who's a freshman. The only freshmen that, by the way, that were put on any committees were freshmen who were reelected, who were out of Congress for some reason or another. So in other words, Ed Case from Hawaii, a very, very conservative blue dog with an F rating, he had been in Congress and then he ran for the Senate and he lost that, so he's been out of Congress for a while, and then there was an opening and an opportunity and he jumped back in. And, you know, you don't get worse than Ed Case. I mean, you know, even a quarter of a millimeter worse than Ed Case, and you're a raving Republican. And so the only freshmen that were appointed to any of these committees were him and Ann Kirkpatrick, another one, same situation. Yep. She had been in Congress. She's a new Dem. She's got a terrible voting record, also an F. She's from Arizona, and she had run for Senate. She lost, and now she's back in Congress. So those are the only ones that were Stephen Horsford was another one. He had been in Congress, and then he got defeated, and then he just got reelected. So he's back in Congress. He's a member of the Progressive Caucus. But guess what? Rating F.
Right. So, you know, maybe this is time to ask Mark Pocan a question or two. Why not have some standards for the Progressive Caucus? If it's really going to be a Progressive Caucus, then the members of it should be progressives.
You know what? Could you ask him that?
I will try. I'll put in another request for him to come on my show.
He's speaking to me.
Yeah. Well, I doubt he'll speak to me either. But I'll try, because this is bullshit. You end this post with a pretty strong statement. It's kind of how I've been today. You write, "So long story short, this is the worst I ever saw Pelosi screw progressives. Not Pocan's transactional definition, but actual progressives in her entire congressional tenure. Anyone who ever doubted which side she's on can now set those doubts to rest for all time." Wow.
Well, I left that in. I didn't change a word, but I did add another paragraph. So it's not.
Okay.
So when I sent you this thing, I was still working on it.
Okay.
So now there's more to it than that. But, you know, that stands exactly. I didn't change one word of what you just read.
Okay.
And I'm pissed at her. I spoke to other members of the Progressive Caucus. I spoke to quite a few of them. And, you know, no one wants to go on the record. No one wants to fight with her. But some of them said that they do feel screwed by some of this stuff. A lot of them are just going strictly by the numbers. So they're saying, well, it's only 33% of this committee. It's not 40%, so she screwed us to that. You know, I'm not going by that. I don't care about that damn caucus. I want to see progressives on these committees.
Yeah.
I am not interested in seeing Lois Frankel being counted as a progressive
Neither.
And putting her on the committee. She's terrible.
Yep.
She votes badly. Who
yep.
wants her on there?
Yep.
You know, same with Lisa Blunt Rochester. She's on the Progressive Caucus. She has an F voting record. She's terrible. And that's who's being counted. Darren Soto, another one, a new Dem with an F. He's being counted as a progressive. And that's the little trick that I realized as soon as this was announced. I wrote about it on my blog. As soon as it was announced, I said, this is what Nancy Pelosi is going to do. She's going to pick all the worst members, and she'll say, look, I did you progressives a big favor.
Mm-hmm.
I put Darren Soto on the committee. You know, what is Darren Soto going to do on the committee? He's going to vote with the Republicans. That's what he's going to do. That's what he's been doing for his whole career.
Unbelievable.
Terrible men.
Well, Darren Soto and Lois Frankel, both from Florida, both far from progressive, but both members of the Progressive Caucus. I'm nowhere near Darren Soto's.
He's also a New Dem, so he's a member of both caucuses.
Unbelievable. At least Lois Frankel's not a member of either of the other ones, but she may as well be. And she's in the next district over from me. I mean, I could see. I'm going to call her office and ask why she's a member of the Progressive Caucus. See if they'll even talk to me
Probably in her mind, she's very, very, very old. And her mind is, you know, not all what it was at one time. And in her mind, being a progressive means, from what I've spoken to her, what I gather from her, being a progressive means being for women's equality. And it doesn't go beyond that far. And I guess race. She didn't really talk with me about race, but she really talked with me a lot about what it meant for women's equality. So when she was a young woman, back in the 1920s or whenever she was a young woman, it really meant a lot to fight for women's equality. Mm-hmm. And she was fighting for women's equality, and that meant you were progressive. Now, you know, when you look at her voting record, I mean, she's not as bad as her old pal Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Who also calls herself a progressive, by the way. The last time I interviewed her.
Who's a New Dem and never joined the Progressive Caucus. That's, by the way, the last paragraph that I added in. Because one of the complaints that I got, before I published something like this, I send it to a bunch of people to get critiques of it.
Okay.
So one of the critiques was that I had it wrong. Because my assumption I don't say it, but my assumption is that 40% of the additional members have to be progressives. But really the deal with Pelosi wasn't that. The deal with Pelosi was that 40% of the committee will now be progressive. So whether they have to add more or less, it doesn't matter. It's just that the outcome has to be 40%. So I looked at one of the important committees and to see who was on it. And what I did is it's an appropriations committee. So of course the banks want to have their people on it. So the people who will do the bank's bidding, and those are the people who the banksters, as I like to call them, they finance their careers. So it's not a matter of one bribe or two. It's a matter of knowing that you can turn to these people year after year after year, election after election, and they'll always give you money. And so I'm looking at who's on the committee to see, if they have a vote that's a pro-bank vote, who's going to win the vote? And the first person, the first name that comes right up is Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who's taken $2.5 million from these banks.
Yep.
You know, and they don't just give the money out randomly. They don't give the money to progressives. They give the money to people like Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And why? Why do they give it to her? They're not giving it to her because they like the way her hair style is. They're not giving it to her because they're patriots. They're giving it to Debbie Wasserman Schultz because they know that she will vote for their agenda. And how do they know that? Because she always has.
Right.
And that's what the problem is. And you go right down the list and you get Henry Cuellar, one of the chairman of the Blue Dogs.
Wow.
Another one, $1.5 million from the banksters. And just keep going down and down and down. You keep finding these people. And even among the newer people who have just come on recently, who haven't been in Congress to accrue all that money, you get a guy like Pete Aguilar here in Southern California. And this is his second term. So he's new, but they've already given him $1 million.
Wow.
So God knows what it's going to be like as the future goes on.
So
that's really what my complaint is. The chairman is a progressive, Nita Lowy. She's in the Progressive Caucus. She identifies herself as a chairman. So she's the chairman of the Appropriations Committee. Is it appropriate to be the chairman of the Appropriations Committee and have taken $5.25 million from these banksters?
I don't think so.
I mean, let her be on a different committee if she wants to take money from the banks. But I think if you're taking money from these financial and insurance organizations, you shouldn't be writing the laws that affect them.
That's true. But Howie, along those lines, Nancy Pelosi wouldn't take AOC's suggestion and say that, that people who are on this new climate committee should, can't take a donation, can't take money from the fossil fuel industry.
Exactly. I mean, it's because it's all part of the same game.
Yep.
You know, I mean, and by the way, obviously this is a Republican thing as well. So we're talking about the Democrats.
Yep.
But I mean, I guess everyone will just assume that the Republicans do it. You don't have to assume it. I can tell you absolutely that they do it. But they don't even think twice about it. The Democrats, because of people complaining all the time, whether and it's not just someone like Alexandria. You get a guy like John Sarbanes, who's been in Congress for a long time and is very much trusted by Nancy Pelosi. You know, he won't take any money from any from any PACs or any organizations that his committee deals with. He just takes zero. He will not take any. He's very, very, very scrupulous about that, which I admire. And there are a number of congressmen who do that kind of thing. And they, you know, they may even if they take money from bad sources. They won't take money from bad sources where their committee is writing the legislation.
Gotcha. But let me ask you this.
And that's what Alexandria was asking for as well.
Right.
She was saying, let's not put people on the committee who are going to be conflicted because they're taking large donations from big oil.
Makes sense to me.
But if big oil wants to get them on the committee, and you know, Nancy made her choice, and it was not Alexandria's way of doing it.
Unbelievable.
It was the way that Congress operates.
You know,
and that's the problem.
It sucks. I was so encouraged when I learned that the Progressive Caucus was the largest caucus inside the Democratic Caucus in the House. But now I understand why, because they're not necessarily progressives. They're just people that paid $5,000. Now, I thought when the new leadership, which is Mark Pocan and Pramila Jayapal, took over, that things would get better. Under Keith Ellison and Raul Grijalva, I could have seen this stuff because for a number of reasons. But is Pramila Jayapal weighing in on this? I mean, I thought better of her.
No, I do need to talk to her about it. I know this is a Pocan thing because I have talked to him about it.
Wow.
But this is not Pramila's kind of way of thinking. So my guess is she'll know about it soon, but my guess is she doesn't even know about this.
Wow.
But you know, and Pocan may deny it as well and say that these people are progressives, but what is not deniable is that there are 13 members of the New Dems who are in the Progressive Caucus. And, you know, they just put I think among the freshmen, there were either five or six. And they're not, I don't know. We have to see how they're going to be. The ones that I know, I wouldn't call them progressives.
Mm-hmm.
They may call themselves progressives, you know, and the argument will then be, oh, you're just nothing but a damn purist.
Right. Of course.
But, you know, someone who has a voting record of F is different from someone who has a voting record of A.
Right. Well, you know, this post and the one that you posted this morning at 5 o'clock, which started out talking about like Twitter followers, but then got into the, as you put it, the grip of the uber corrupt establishment consulting class. Democrats, as much as we like to think they're better than their Republican counterparts, some of them aren't necessarily, or at least not much.
They're better on certain things.
Right. 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 So,
you know, in other words, if your issue is choice, the Democrats are always better,
sure.
Almost always.
Almost.
If your issue is you know, you don't want racists, you're probably going to be better off with a Democrat.
Right.
But when you start talking about things that involve money and corruption, then you have to be very careful. Because there are plenty of Democrats who are every bit as bad as Republicans. You could pretty much always count on the Republicans being bad on everything.
Mm-hmm.
You can't count on Democrats as being good on everything.
Right.
That's
a good way to look at it. You're right. But you, in this piece, you wrote about...
the post just referring to, by the way, the idea that I was trying to get across there is to get out of the grip of these of this Beltway corporate corruption class. Is one of the things that you see Ocasio building now.
Mm-hmm.
She now has the biggest Twitter following in the entire Congress.
Which is amazing.
I mean, not only does she has, I mean, everyone is saying, oh my God, she has more Twitter followers than Nancy Pelosi. Yes, she does.
Mm-hmm.
But there's even more than that. If you take all of the Republicans together who have six-figure Twitter followings. There aren't that many of them. But if you put, you know, like, obviously McCarthy is one of them, and there are a few others. I list them on the post. Mm-hmm. And you add them all up, Ocasio has more than all of them.
Combined.
So
that's amazing.
What does that mean? Who cares about Twitter? Well, I'll tell you what it means. What it means is that she can get out her message, and she can get a narrative going that winds up going viral, and that winds up being discussed on television and in the newspapers. And she's done that. She just did that with marginal tax rates. All of a sudden, everyone is learning what a marginal tax rate is, and they're learning why it would be really good to have a 70% marginal tax rate for multimillionaires. Her proposal, by the way, is way, way to the right of what I think should happen. I mean, she's saying that any money that someone makes over $10 million should be taxed at between 60 and 70%. The reality, I think, the progressive position on that should be anyone who's making maybe $1 million should have that money taxed, mm-hmm. and maybe at more than 70%, maybe even going back to rates when Eisenhower was president, when it was 92%.
Yep.
But the point that Fox is trying to make, which is a false point, is that she's claiming that anything you make, all of your money, will be taxed at this outrageous rate. And all she's saying is that the money that is more than $10 million, so the first $10 million isn't going to get taxed at 70%. The first $10 million is going to get taxed presumably at 39% like it is now. And it's just the money over $10 million that's what a marginal tax rate means. And that's what she was trying to bring up. And because she was able to go on Twitter and have that big voice immediately, boom. It's all over the newspapers, and and MSNBC is talking about it, and Fox is talking about it. Front page of the New York Daily News, 60 Minutes wants to discuss it. You know, it becomes, that's the value of having those big Twitter accounts. So, and when you look at the freshmen, the only freshman, and again, I went into this in my post, mm-hmm. the only freshman with six-figure Twitter accounts are the progressives.
Yeah.
All of the blue dogs that the DCCC spent millions and millions and millions of dollars to get elected, no, they don't have any following. They all have, like, you know, I mean, one of them that I was laughing about is Jeff Van Drew, and he's got two accounts, and one has like 1,000 people, and the other one has 1,500 people, something like that.
By the way, I
and,
thought
you know,
of you.
You don't get a message out that
right.
way. If you know, it's basically your cousins who are following you.
Right. No, Van Drew, who you've been warning us about for a long time, I got a little bit of a titter out of when they were voting for Speaker, and he voted no.
Yes, he's the only one. I mean, and this is a guy who's been in the state legislature, so he's supposedly supposed to know this stuff, where sometimes say, well, you know, freshmen, they're just learning. Mm. Well, he's had a long, long career, and he's supposed to, you know, he's supposed to know what he's doing.
Yeah.
And instead of voting, you know, you could vote for Nancy Pelosi, you could vote for anybody you want. You don't. It doesn't even have to be a member of Congress. It could be anybody.
Yep.
But he just voted no.
It's amazing. You know, even I, who've never served in elective office, I know that they were taking votes on Speaker, and you're supposed to say a name, the person you're voting for, not yes or no. Was he not paying attention to all the votes that came before his?
I mean, that's also pretty funny, right?
Yeah.
I mean, right. He wasn't paying attention. He was probably, like, trying to get new Twitter followers.
I guess. Anyway, in this post where you talk about the Twitter followers, and I find the following for AOC amazing. And by the way, Beto O'Rourke today Instagrammed his dental cleaning. Got to say, that's a bit much. But you do go on and talk about this organization called Mothership. And it, people who want to be informed, who want to know how the politics of politics operates, you should read this. So you know that the Democrats are not blameless in this mess that we're in, this Mothership, because we've talked about something similar in regard to campaign consultants and the money they take out of any media buy and all that, how all these organizations are getting rich off the donations you give to the DCCC or the DNC or any other organization like that.
Yeah, and Mothership comes right out of the DCCC, the three people who own it. Mm-hmm. And who have become fabulously wealthy,
wow.
Meaning that they were just guys, and now they're just millionaire guys. They had something at the DCCC, which was referred to as the Mothership. Uh-huh. And then they left DCCC and they started a company called The Mothership.
And they're all and getting
they,
rich.
When you get one of these emails that says, oh, my God, the end of the world is coming. Mm-hmm. You know, Trump is about to do this, or, you know, he's going to assassinate Mueller. You know, these crazy emails that say, you know, open immediately or else. That's from them. Ugh. That's the theory that they have, is into frightening people into donating money.
Wow.
And the candidates that I speak to say they hate it. And some of them won't have anything to do with it. Bernie won't, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Grace obviously never did. But Ted Lieu won't. But some of the candidates say to me, "I hate it. I hate it. I wish we didn't have to do it, but we have to do it."
Mm. Well, read the piece. Yeah, because we're out of time. Howie Klein, find him at downwithtyranny.com, and of course the Blue America Pack. Howie, always a pleasure, and I will talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week. Thanks.
Take care. Bye. And with that, we're done for the day. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.